Welcome to episode 80 of the Pickup Podcast. It's your boy Marcus here once again. Co-host Reggie back on it. You know, this week we're going to get into the NFL week two and some week one preview, some college football week three, week two, you know, review. So we're going to get into it. Stay tuned.
Let's go.
Let's go. So, my boy, you know, good and well. I got to come on here and I got to talk about college football, you know. First, you know, couple weeks of the season. I mean, I talked with Chris Denny last week about week one. And shout out, you know, all my boys that, you know, that won or had their close games. But week two. Man, we're talking about an interesting week for week two college football. Start down with your boys down in Columbia, man. The Shane Beamer era, using a little Beamer ball to get back.
Beamer boys, Beamer ball, you know the game. I'm excited. I can't say anything but that. Obviously, that wasn't, you know, the full game we wanted to see, but rallying from 14 down, I'll take it, you know what I'm saying? I hope we can take that momentum into Georgia next week. As you may have known, Georgia hasn't lost at home since the last time we rolled in there. So hopefully we can take that same energy with the Beamer boys.
Yeah, man. And then sticking to that SEC narrative right there, we had a lot of games in the SEC that I think kind of proved some dominance for the upcoming season. But we also had some question marks, you know, like, Auburn, not that it's, you know, anything significant, but, you know, they look strong versus Alabama State week two. They, you know, climbed into the rankings. They've had Akron and Alabama State, so we're not looking at anything really challenging up until this coming week, week three. They're going to Penn State. But I think Auburn's a little – looks kind of a little better than expected first 2 weeks. This week will kind of obviously be that litmus test with Penn State. Texas A&M, I kind of don't know what to think about them because that game with Florida, you know, that was – or Florida, that game with Colorado, you know, 10-7, losing your quarterback, Haynes King, which I believe he's gone for the season, right?
He is.
So, I mean, sucks because, I mean, that was your – you know, top five quarter, you know, top five team, your starting quarterback, top three quarterback in the SEC, supposed to be. I don't know, man. This matchup coming up for Texas A&M, week three, New Mexico, it's not really anything. Then they got Arkansas, who's been, like, storming up the last couple weeks. Obviously, they – rolled the fuck out of Texas. So, like I was saying, that's a collision course right there. A team trending up, trending down, possibly trending down with the loss of a quarterback. It's very topsy-turvy looking kind of conference. Obviously, I believe all of this is just who's going to come second place to Georgia and Bama, third place to Georgia and Bama, right? But
absolutely.
It's a lot of different teams that look like they're at least going to put up a fight this year. It's top heavy for sure, but it won't be without some challenges per like how the SEC normally is.
You know what? And honestly, I'm ready for that. I think everyone's ready for a new face in the SEC. I don't think it's starting with Alabama, though.
You don't?
Absolutely not. I think they're still the same old Bama.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see what Florida does against them, but I honestly think that Alabama's going to go in there and roll. It might not be pretty, but they're going to roll.
Freshman quarterback, Bryce Young, looks like, I said it last week, he looked damn impressive his first couple games. This is his first real road.
First road start.
Yeah, I mean, this is his first real road game. I mean, they played neutral site that first game. But he's going to Gainesville. 3:30.
100,000 in front of you.
It's gonna be something. I mean, I don't have any lack of confidence in what he can do, but obviously, you know, you don't know until you know. So that's probably the biggest game out of there this week. That or the Penn State Auburn game. Be watching from out of the SEC. I think it's going to be the kind of the tail of the rest of the year. Georgia, South Carolina, I know that's your boys, but I have no expectations whatsoever of an upset. You guys figure out what's going on with your quarterback situation. I mean, who you running with, man? Like, who are you running with? We still running with grad transfer, or what are we doing?
Nah, man, I am running with Luke Doty when Luke Doty is ready. Until then, I don't mind hanging out with Mr. Grad Transfer guy. But, I mean, let's be real here. Zeb Nolan is not the future of South Carolina. He's not a game-changing face of a quarterback, and we need a game-changer to go into Athens. Honestly, I think Luke Doty is that. I'm just a bit concerned with this being his first real action. I don't know if I want to put that in, you know? Yeah. I think I'd rather save face, let Zeb go in, and, you know, we do what we can. But again, it's like, if your guy's confident, you have to let him play. I just hope throughout anything, we don't go out there and embarrass ourselves, which is very much possible and on the horizon.
I mean, I know I mentioned them a second ago, but do you think Arkansas is for real? Or are they just living, you know, on a week-to-week hype?
Week-to-week hype.
Week-to-week hype?
For sure. I honestly would not be surprised if we see some flashes of what's to really come from Arkansas in this Georgia Southern game.
I mean, because, bro, that Arkansas win was – they ran for 300 yards. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just do that. Like, that's what you do against FCS teams, you know, on your cupcake games. I mean, I don't think there's any kind of, you know, I don't think there's really any kind.
But let's see. Here's the thing, though. And this is one thing that I always want to never stress, but there's a certain time that you can use it. What's that? Let's be real here. Texas isn't an SEC defense.
They will be.
I mean, yeah, and you saw what happened to Texas A&M their first year. It wasn't too pretty. And didn't they come in with Johnny Manziel at the helm?
No, that was the year after he left.
Okay. Well, long story short, it took an adjustment period. I think that whether or not we play it bold or play it true or whatever, we'll see the true Arkansas when they get into SEC play. For now, I'm going to ride it week to week and hook them.
So do you believe in Texas?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
That was just me being funny.
Oh. I was like, oh, he's back on hook 'em? Bet.
No, absolutely not.
So, I mean, for the rest of the college football world, I mean, we got some pretty decent games coming up in the top 25 matchups.
Yeah, I'm honestly excited to see what Coastal Carolina does against Buffalo.
That's going to be a good game. Arizona State, BYU. I mean, I know this.
How do you feel about Herm?
I mean, I feel like he's definitely building. You know what I'm saying? There's Jaden Daniels has been someone that I've been high on for the last 2 years. I've wanted to see his development. You know, I've wanted to see how he, you know, he looks like he has everything, all the makings of a, you know, I'm not going to say a Heisman candidate, but he's at least going to be a top four quarterback. I think he can be top four quarterback, at least should be the best quarterback in the Pac-12. By the time he's a senior, because he's definitely a four-year player. I liked his potential. I think that COVID year, they only played like, what, 7-8 games or whatever.
Right.
That kind of stunts what they had going on. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he runs the ball well. He throws the ball, making pretty good decisions with the ball. He's never really been in a situation where he's had to go, like, win a big game because there haven't been a lot of big games. Kind of the same feelings that I had with DTR in UCLA with Chip Kelly.
Good old Chip.
Which they look like they, you know, have got it back rolling to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean,
I was high on him from, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? There was a Oregon State, not Oregon, Arizona State and UCLA game I ended up watching, and it was just back and forth. And I was like, yo, both these quarterbacks are it. The defenses were ass, but, I mean, you can distinguish between good quarterback play and just bad defense. And I was like, there is bad defense for sure, but the quarterback play was definitely good enough. And I was like, yo, these two dudes, it's going to be dudes to watch. And I think
Chip
finally got it, you know, figured out. Herms got it figured out, you know, with Herms Ben had it figured out, I think, with what he's doing with Arizona State. I think he was just lacking some recruiting pieces. But like I said, I think Jaden Daniels is one of those guys that he can kind of pull everything together.
Right. And I totally agree. I was asking because I like Herm, but I think now is also the proving time. You've had some years behind you to get pieces in. You've got a pretty much, I wouldn't say a star, but you've got a building piece that could be a star in place. So what do you do from here? I think now is the proving time for sure. And I think they're on the way, honestly.
I mean, talking about as far as the Pac-12 goes,
there's a lot of questions in the Pac-12 outside of Oregon, obviously.
Everyone say Oregon's obviously the front runner. And then outside of that, I mean, who you got that's challenging them, I think it's going to be one of those two teams. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, quarterback play largely because, although I will say UCLA's defense is better than it has been in recent years. Chip Kelly's done a pretty decent job with that.
That's just a sentence that you don't hear quite, that I never thought I'd, like, really put together.
What?
But I totally agree.
Please, what, Chip Kelly's defense has improved?
Yeah. The defense has improved over the course of time, especially due to Chip Kelly. But at any rate, I totally agree. And I think if anyone could challenge them, I wanted to say USC coming into the season, but now I'm pretty firm on UCLA. I don't think I could give the full hype to Arizona State. I like what they're doing, but challenging the Pac-12, I think, is a step outside of their realm right now. Nah,
they're definitely season busters. They're going to fuck up someone's season.
Absolutely.
I think that they got – I think they have enough for next year to challenge, depending on how they shake out with recruiting and whatnot.
So, moving out of the Pac-12, do you buy any hype into – the Notre Dame season right now?
I have to.
They squeaked by Florida State. And what? They squeaked by, who was that, Toledo?
Yes. But I have All to. Right. Here's why. Completely out of self-interest. Virginia Tech. I don't believe in Virginia Tech as a contender. I know that we're on the offensive side absolutely trash. And most of it is coaching, offensive coordinator issues, receiver issues, quarterback issues. But the offensive line is better than expected. And we have a couple of running backs that, you know, are doing enough. But in a quarterback that can scramble for his life, and that's about it.
For his life, precisely.
But, yeah, I think that at the beginning of the season – Virginia Tech was expected to win six or seven games. I think it was expected. For me, a good season was winning 8 games and beating one of our 3 top 15 preseason matchups, which was Miami, no, North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Miami. And now it's looking very possible with the decline of all three teams. We already beat North Carolina. That was the shock of the world, week one. Notre Dame's coming up in 2 weeks after this game that we have in West Virginia. They look very beatable. So, and then Miami's did their typical Miami shit. So now.
But I mean, it was Alabama.
I mean, Alabama, but then did you not also see them against App State?
No, but they won.
Barely. They tried. They tried very hard to lose that game. And that's no disrespect to App State, because I came into that game, and I told in a different group chat, I told my friends, I was like, before the game started, I was like, yeah, App State's going to – I won't be surprised if App State gives Miami some problems very late in this game. Which, like I said, I didn't pick them to win, but I knew they – I mean, they almost won, which would have been a little bit more of a surprise to me. But the fact that they played them close to halftime and then deep into the fourth quarter where it came down, they took the lead with like 3 minutes left or so, and then Florida State had to go down to kick a last second to win, last second field goal. That's something that I would say that, you know, kind of, you know, speaking to my – I said Florida State, Miami – kind of speaking to kind of where I think Miami is as a program. I mean, they have all the recruits. The numbers are there on paper, but I don't know if Diaz is that guy. In-game management just looks pretty terrible. Quarterback development, I mean, they have, you know, Derek King, who was a transfer, and it seems like he is barely squeaking by because of everything that, you know, in spite of everything, like he's not like, they're not coaching him along and helping him win. They're winning in spite of coaching.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that it's a system fit right now. I don't think they're fitting him in. They're just trying to put a circle inside of a square.
So, as far as like Virginia Tech beating them, I think Virginia Tech now is kind of being overrated from a week one win because we did beat North Carolina. Caught them at the right time, in my opinion. And now I think we're expected – we can win all three games. Like, we can beat Notre Dame if we, you know, look good enough against West Virginia. People start to believe we can beat them because Notre Dame's shown, you know, flaws in the first 2 weeks.
Big flaws.
And we can for sure beat Miami. I mean, Miami was the one that actually, when I said beat one of the three, Miami was always the one that I thought we had the chance of beating. So the fact that we already beat one of the other ones, and then the other one, Notre Dame, is looking that, you know, they might be a little shady. Now we're talking about Virginia Tech and maybe have a 9-win season and extend Fuente and blah, 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 blah. And that's going to piss me off also, but I'll take winning and being mad versus, you know, six games and being mad. But
well, you know, at this point, it's looking like Virginia Tech's on par to present the ACC in the college football playoffs. So I'm all here for it.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Clemson. DJ Uiagalelei is supposed to be, you know, QB1, the next up in the line of greatness. You know, we talk about Taj Boyd to Deshaun Watson to briefly Kelly Bryant and then Trevor Lawrence. And DJU is supposed to be next man up. I mean, obviously he played, you know, last year, the game that Trevor Lawrence missed, and played against Notre Dame, and that game, you know, went very, very close, and he looked good.
He always looked good in filling, you know, for Trevor. Obviously, those games you're up 20, 30 at this point anyway, but.
Yeah, but, I mean, coming out so flat week one and then week two against South Carolina State, no diss to the boys, but you have to dominate, and he didn't dominate.
You need to go up 70 at the half.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong. They did go up 70, but I'm talking about just him. Like, you still, you know.
No, I'm saying you need to go up. Like, you personally need to be checking out at halftime. Like, I'm out, coach. It's over. No questions asked. Like, it's done with. There's no point in me playing. I've won this game. Because that's what Trevor did every time, especially against a team that you pay money to play you. You know? Come on.
It's one of those things where I think that they have a – they're kind of trying to protect him from the letdown, I think is what they were doing, which I that doesn't show a lot of confidence to me. I mean, obviously, yeah. Needed to just get the win. I mean, you took the loss already. So, to me, their season's done. I don't think – like, they went out, okay? Like, I believe they went out. But there's no one on that schedule that I think is going to hold weight as far as the college football playoffs. Their best chance, I believe, was Boston College. Or if Florida State could have got rolling with Mackenzie Milton, apparently they won't make that switch. But I think that's the only way Florida State gets rolling with Mackenzie Milton.
I don't think there's any rolling in Florida State anymore. Period. They should just burn that entire.
You saw what happened versus. I mean, but you saw what happened versus versus Notre Dame. Like they got rolling in the second half, the fourth quarter. I mean, obviously that was a 18-point comeback, or something of the like. I mean,
something of the like.
That doesn't happen on accident. You know, you take a top 10 team to overtime.
But we're talking. I mean, we're just. You know, I think it's more of a testament to how bad Notre Dame could be. Honestly, it were being, I'm truly thinking that Purdue could have a shot in this Notre Dame game more than the 20% shot that I feel they're predicted to
win. Watching Toledo, you know, hold them to, 16 points? Everyone should feel like they have a shot.
I mean, or 32. I'm just saying. I just say, if you look at both sides, yes, Florida State took a top 10 team to the end, rallied, almost finished. But how good is this team? Even are we talking? You know? So I just think it's more of an indictment on Notre Dame.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in them, but. For selfish reasons, I have to believe that they're good enough to give us reason
to say that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But no, I believe that all three teams that we were slated to have as far as our tough prove it schedule, I mean, North Carolina might be that good. We just might, I think we caught them at the right time. But everyone else is looking like a big old mid pack. I mean, you see, Miami's already falling completely out of the top 25 already, 2 weeks. So
with your 2 week outlook of the season,
or is it 24? Give me, you're not completely out yet, but I think they lose to Michigan State. So there's that too.
With your 2 week outlook on the season, give me your top four for the college football playoff.
See, if I had the season ended today. Season ended today. Alabama and Georgia off top. I want to say Oklahoma, but that week one scare is a little bit much. I can't really. I mean, Oregon is in there for sure. I might even jump Iowa ahead of Oklahoma right now.
I was going to actually teeter on that a bit. Because mine was looking just like yours with the Bama, Georgia, Oregon. And, you know, I was going to go Iowa. Yeah. They made Brock Purdy look like, I don't even know what to call him. I think I was going to make some real big noise this upcoming season. Luna, back up. More specifically, to the point of, I don't really see another dominant team coming out of the Big Ten, especially out of the Big Ten West.
Yeah. It's, that Big Ten West is theirs to lose for sure. Switching gears real quick.
You know,
last week, you know, opening week, we did the pool. You, You took the cake for the pool. Came down to the last game. A crazy game. I'm going to start with that game, talking about that game. Ravens and the Raiders. So, you had 11 wins. I had 10 wins going into that game. And per the tiebreaker, In my opinion, you can go back and look at it, but I think I would have won the tiebreaker for that Cardinals game.
I did look at it, but I didn't pay any attention to how close the tiebreaker was.
Because I think you were a little hot on the scores.
I'm always hot. Come on.
Yeah. I think you're a little high on the scores. So, I would have brought it to you also. I would have just made that decision myself. But I believe if we came with it to that 11-11 tie, I think I would have won a tiebreaker and won the pot. But as we saw, that was probably the craziest ending of any game of week one right there on Monday Night Football. We had Lamar Jackson, you know, supposed to be icing the game, going down the field on the last drive. Fumble, ended up going for a touchdown on the next drive for the Raiders, tying the game up. Then the Ravens go down, score a touchdown, and then the Raiders come back, score another touchdown, and the Ravens get a last-second field goal to win. And then the Raiders come down and get last-second field goal to tie. And then we had Bryan Edwards going stupid on, like, 5 straight catches.
Ignorant.
But, I mean, that's your boy, you know? Any from USC?
South Carolina made.
Yeah.
I was in there screaming, "Go Cox!"
I bet you were.
I was.
Nah, but they had I don't know, man. Like, is now I'm kind of reevaluating when I think of the Ravens going forward. Obviously, they lost 10 running backs, and they signed, like, 5 more off the street. Tyson Williams didn't look terrible to, you know, first game filling in like that. He was kind of like the talk of their preseason. And, you know, it somewhat translated week one. But, man, someone's got to do something outside of Lamar, right? Like, especially in the passing game. Who can be that consistent guy that Lamar can go to so that he's not, you know, taking off and, you know, downfield getting hit and fumbling? Like,
you would have hoped that it'd be Marquise Brown, but, you know, he can't really stay consistent. He's one of those guys that I hope not, but it seems like he's just coming into like a role where he can just get hot. And other than that, you know, he's really just a streaming guy. Outside of that, you've got big Mark Andrews right there. I feel like the Lamar to Mark Andrews connection should always be hot. And one thing that really scared me is that they signed all these running backs. But one thing I would have done is signed a wide receiver or two. Like, you have a young, budding quarterback, and they're trying their hardest not to let him throw the ball on a 30 to 40 time a night basis, which, sure, he may not be that type of quarterback, but he's one of the most athletic quarterbacks that we have. Even Mariota threw the ball a lot. Like, you know, I think he's more closer to that build than any quarterback that we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years. And I just don't know why they're not letting him consistently throw the ball, and they're so hemmed on running. At this point, once you've lost your entire running back core, you would think that with a budding franchise quarterback, you'd be like, fuck it, dog, just sling this shit a little bit. And I know that's not the Ravens' true core, but I think they needed to do a bit more of that on Monday night.
And when you look at the game, too, Lamar was dealing. Like, because he was getting pressure. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
Defensive line, I don't know whether to credit the defensive line of the Raiders or if we're talking about – because Max Crosby was on Lamar's ass. Max Crosby had a game of his life.
The real Max Crosby.
Carl Nassib, you know, had the game save and fumble in overtime. So, I mean – that's two guys right there that, you know, they were giving them trouble on the tackles, on offensive tackles. They were struggling at points, especially Villanueva.
He didn't. I mean, we knew Villanueva was washed. Come on.
I mean, yeah, but he was smoked by Max Crosby. Like,
didn't Ronnie Stanley? Didn't he get? Isn't he out?
Ronnie Stanley? I thought he played.
Didn't he? Get injured mid-game? I don't know. maybe something happened after the game. I thought I saw something. I thought he may have gotten taken out mid-game. Either way, though, Villanueva was cake.
Oh, yeah.
He was done from start. But, I mean, I really just am concerned about the Raiders or the Ravens' offense as a whole because it's clear. I mean, sure, Tyson Williams did his thing, and they have a bunch of backup running backs that they can keep filling in. But it's clear and cut and obvious now that they want to be fixated on running the ball, and that's so easy to plan against, especially when you don't have a star. And the only star, your star running, you know, key in factor is your quarterback. But why don't they just make it an effort to let him deal, you know, like more of a Russell Wilson type of game plan as opposed to, I don't know what the hell they've got going on. I'm really not fond of Greg Roman's offensive tactics going into Lamar's, what, fourth year?
Yes, 2018.
Yeah, and I mean, they've got Sammy Watkins out there. They've got Marquise Brown. They drafted Devin Duvernay and Tylan Wallace, but
returners.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is probably one of the worst receiving corps in the NFL.
But I mean, we've all seen Lamar. He's one of those quarterbacks that's out there making $1.15. So,
but he doesn't have to, you know. I just feel like at this rate, with how it's going, you can't have every skill position be something that can be easily game planned against. And rotating in backups isn't like, you know, they're not like the 49ers backfield where they can just create a new scheme every week. They're not doing that. The Raiders or the Ravens scheme is the same. They're just filling in players, you know?
They're missing Orlando Brown?
I think very much so.
Does that sound like a misfire for them, choosing Ronnie Stanley over Orlando Brown? I mean, at the time, obviously, Ronnie Stanley had the experience and he was just injured and coming back. But.
Well, you know, in hindsight, obviously, now you just wish you could have just kept Orlando because now Ronnie Stanley's out. Things aren't looking good either way.
Yeah.
Villanueva's cake. Half your running backs are dead. You don't have a wide receiver core to rely on. And the one outlet that you would think the QB tight end dump off or what in any other scheme would be a QB running back dump off is just not alive and well at all.
Yeah, it's Lamar taking off and, you know, hitting the
– making a dollar out of 15 cents?
Yeah, hitting the circle button halfway down the field that run that he had. Shit, the run that he fumbled on was a pretty decent run. Just ended with a fumble.
And that's the thing. He could be so much better if these weren't like, I have to run runs. If these were more like sprinkled in the offense runs. But these are like, oh shit, I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah.
Or man, I have to make this play happen.
Man,
how you lose your franchise quarterback.
I haven't seen that since Cam Newton.
Yeah, right?
Carolina. Well, Cam was, I mean, even though a lot of them were design runs, a lot of them were designed. They were designed because we couldn't do much else.
Yeah, exactly. This is your only option, and it's just like y'all planned for it. Y'all went into it like, all right, guys, we know this is our only option.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's I think they still are on track for a wild card berth. I still think that division is the Browns lose.
Really?
The AFC North?
Yeah, it's easily the Steelers to lose.
All right, man. All right, man. The Browns.
I just don't understand.
What are we not understanding? Look, the Browns took the best team in football, Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They're miraculous. Like, they had to tap into, like, Super Saiyan to go win that. Right? And some luck. You know, you had to have a misfire on a snap, on a punt. I mean, they were already in the midst of the comeback. So let's not get that twisted. I'm not saying that the Chiefs got lucky or anything because the comeback was already on. They scored that They scored that first touchdown, and I immediately sent the text. I was like, Patrick Mahomes is going to win. It's plain and simple because once it started, there's no stopping it. But they helped it along with that. You know?
Let's backtrack. two steps. Go back to Saturday morning where you're thinking about this game, or Sunday morning, whatever. You don't have faith in the Browns winning this game. And I don't mean that as in, like, we know the Chiefs are going to steamroll, but, like, we know the Chiefs are going to find a way to win this game.
Correct.
And that's not an indictment on the Browns. It's just as good as the Chiefs are.
Correct.
So in that same sentence, I'm not going to sit up here and act like just because the Browns made it a bit of a game that that's going to show me that the Browns are somewhat good. Because we knew what was going to happen. The Chiefs were going to win this game. I don't think this is a good enough game to really gauge where I think the Browns' talent is. Because in my opinion, being an AFC North believer, you know, I live in this division. I watch the Browns through and through each year. I'm a big believer in what they have going on. I'm not a big believer in them being a division front runner. Never will be.
Like,
they're going to have to show me more. And
what we just watched was the AFC championship.
Absolutely not. An AFC championship team on the Chiefs side, absolutely. But I'm still going to have to run with my Steelers as the division front runners.
I mean, fair enough, I guess.
At the same time, you have to look at – let's just look at the other side. So you have the Chiefs-Browns game ends in the Browns giving up a small, you know, deficit loss to the Chiefs, who we all knew were going to win. We all – I think everyone but one in that group picked the Chiefs to win, and you weren't that one anyway. So, like, you knew as well the Chiefs were going to win. On that same side, the Bills. The high-flying Bills offense that, just as well as the Browns did a few months ago, dismantled the Steelers in there after their 11 wins straight. And, you know, everyone's laughing. These are the real Steelers, blah, blah, blah. Not much has changed. Offense still pretty stagnant, but the one thing that sticks out to you is that high-flying number one defense in the NFL. That defense is going to carry this team as far as it'll take them. I am very much convinced.
Definitely your high-marketed team. Because you got
absolutely
receivers that – got three receivers that – I mean, I don't think any of them are number one. And at Ben's point right now, we were talking about that last week with Chris – you know, at any point, Mike can find one that he, you know, pins as his number one and just feeds him. But, you know, Deontay Johnson, is he really a number one? Probably not. Claypool, a red zone guy, deep shot guy. Juju, don't know what the fuck he is.
Let's get it straight. Juju's the number one receiver, and he has been. You guys kill me with the nonsense here. The guy who receives the most targets, the most eldest guy on the team, guy who is always there for those third down
yards, for the touchdowns, it doesn't add up. He might be the leader of the group, like in the locker room, but on the field, is he the?
What do you classify as the number one receiver?
Who is your number one guy that is going to by your quarterback?
Like, who are you going to go to in times of need and disparity when you need to get a play? The guy you always go to, that's Juju.
It was Deontay Johnson last year.
It was not Deontay Johnson last year. Deontay Johnson had the most drops in the NFL last year. He was trying to build confidence. But whenever he needed a third and long situation, whenever he needed to get a down, a drive to go situation, whenever you need your guy to make a play, it was Juju. Whenever you need 8 yards and you know you can only throw that ball four and you need your 6'3", 220-pound guy to bow over the two men in front of him, you know you've got Juju. Whenever you need a block to your right side, you motion that man over there, and he'll take that guy out for you. I'm telling you, bro, I watch Steelers football, and I'm not just capping for this man. I know a number one receiver when I see one. This is the guy. This is the definition of a number one receiver. It's the guy you go to in disparity. Not only is he the eldest, the leader of the locker room, but he's the guy that his quarterback is his go-to target. Everyone else, this is Ben. This is the captain of the team. These are two other talented guys on there. So, obviously, it's not going to be like a landslide in targets, receptions, and all that. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, bread and butter for everybody. I think that should be more of a positive towards the offense, the fact that they can dish it around like that. Obviously, there were some stops that came last year. The offense was not perfect by any means, and it still is not at all. But again, I think this is a very much building block, and I'm very excited to see what they can do behind the best defense in the NFL by far and far and large.
Also, what are you guys doing with your run game? I mean, is Najee Harris
working on it?
Working on it.
Yeah, Najee Harris is the, again, clear-cut leader. All 53 snaps on the offense were played by Najee Harris. Working it in. We have two rookies on the offensive line. Three of the offensive line members are two-year starters. And then Chukwuma Okorafor won the starting job last year and is like a four-year vet. Long story short, they're young. And we got a 19-year vet quarterback who is named after a fucking statue. All right? We're working on the run game. We're building it. We did go out and draft Najee Harris to be a workhorse, and I think he's going to be exactly that. I don't discount the Bills' defensive line. I think we're going to have a lot more of a better going against the Raiders Sunday. We'll get to see Najee Harris have a breakout game.
I'm hoping so, man. I got him on two fantasy teams.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you saw the trade this morning, but I sent Josh Jacobs away and picked up Najee Harris.
I saw that. That was bold, but I guess I respect it.
I mean, if you think about it, my position, I still have Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
I'll take it.
No point in two of the same team. But, yeah, so you guys, well, I'll get into game picks later. I'm not going to ask about winning and losing. So, other games this week. I mean, we got the Chiefs and Ravens coming up this week. We just talked about both of those teams. Like I said before, I'm not taking the Chiefs to lose any game that they're healthy, especially after the performance the Ravens had with their offensive line and having Stanley out. We're just going to see another line of dominance. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think it should be another, you know, primetime game for the Ravens, back-to-back, playing Sunday night. That should be a good one. The game that I have for the game of the week in the pool for this week is the Cowboys and the Chargers. Let's talk about that game real quick. So, that game's, I think, a little difficult to pick for some people. You know what I'm saying? It's Chargers -3.5. So, I mean, at home. Dak came off of the game of his life, which, of course, was a loss to the best team in NFC. But I think some of that momentum might carry over. L.A., you know, Justin Herbert, not the game of his life, but Justin Herbert, you know, I think against one of the better defenses in the NFC, threw all over the place. And, I mean, obviously an interception, but it only one touchdown. But, I mean, like I said, Washington's supposed to be, you know, a top three defense this year. I think putting up, you know, 337 yards for Herbert, you know, in a touchdown, some shit that's not, you know, not sneeze at. I think he kind of stamped himself as he's here to stay, you know, not a one-year wonder type dude, you know? Kind of want to see what kind of quarterback battle these two are going to have. I think that both these defenses are going to allow them to throw.
I can agree. But I just, man, there's just something in the air about the Cowboys. Something in the air.
Is it positive?
I don't. It's always negative with the Cowboys for some reason. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Stephen A. said, what can go wrong will go wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, I'm a full believer in the Justin Herbert hype train. I definitely think he's here to stay. And I do agree with that Washington defense nod, too. Hell, I think they have the best defensive line in the NFL by far, or at least will have them for the next 10 years.
And both of these quarterbacks just came off playing. I know we're talking about the Steelers, but I think the Steelers are kind of like that top five range. I think, you know, Washington and Tampa are top two. I mean, these both just came off playing the top two defenses, and they both played
you know, pretty well. I think we should be in line for some fireworks in this game.
I think we should. I definitely think I'm going to give the nod to the Chargers, though. Yeah. What can go wrong will go wrong. And, again, you look at this Cowboys team, they're still figuring things out with getting Dak back. Do you rely on Zeke? How do we picture Zeke back in? The offensive line is looking a bit interesting behind that. Dak's playing great. I think we don't need to worry about Zeke and throw the ball, but I think they're worried about their $65 million. So I don't really fucking know. And the defense, whew, PU. So, I mean.
But Michael Parsons look good.
Decent. But Michael Parsons isn't going to save the Cowboys by far.
Michael Parsons and Trayvon Diggs look decent.
I mean, I'm a big Trayvon Diggs believer. But, again, we're looking at
– the building blocks are there is all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, the building blocks are for sure there. But, again, we've seen the building blocks. The building blocks were there 2 years ago. Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. What was the cornerback they just traded to the Dolphins?
Byron Jones.
I mean, the pieces are always apparently there, but they never can fully keep them there and build around them, you know? There's always glaring holes just as much as there is those one or two good pieces. So I'm just not a big believer, and the Cowboys are in a – I think it sucks that the division is always in this state of being mediocre, or at least it has been for the better of the past 3 to 4 years since the Eagles won that Super Bowl. Because it leaves no room for really, like, rash improvements. You know, no real fight to get to the top. Because you can win 7 games and, you know, you might fucking be the division leader.
I mean, look, we're looking at the offense for the Cowboys that can do, on paper, anything. Obviously, I think a lot of what happened, I don't think it was the inability of Zeke to run the ball. I think they were plain and simple, as far as the offensive game plan, they were running from the Buccaneers defensive line. Like, they were just straight up, you know what? We know that's what you're good at, so we're not even going to try. And I think they went to a lot of short, you know, pass on the perimeter. You know, Dak threw the ball almost 60 times. Just used what they call the long handoff for the run game. kind of sucks they lost Gallup. Because I think having that, you know, extra third threat was a little bit, you know, kind of what put that passing attack over the top. But, I mean, if you're a fan of CeeDee Lamb and Cooper, then I guess, or if you have more of your fantasy, yes, increase targets or whatever.
You know, I'm definitely a fan of CeeDee Lamb. And I also will say,
and I'm glad he got over his little drops thing. Cause I mean, he had a couple bad drops in that game. Right.
And it came. Yeah, absolutely.
And kind of, you know, proved that it didn't shake him. Cause that was kind of the thing that I was worried about him with last year. Last year he had plays like that, but he didn't come back from it in the game. But I mean, I think it's a show of confidence too. They go back to him later in the game, you know, clutch drive, go down to kick a field goal or whatever. And you got CeeDee Lamb here converting third downs. You
know? Yeah, he honestly looked like the guy Dak would look for first or would look for in those situations. There's at least 2 or 3 red zone drives where he's the first go-to. Look, I think one of them they converted.
I think he's an elite number two. I don't think he's a number one receiver.
I mean, I think he's the best receiver on that team.
I think it should be CeeDee Lamb. For all intents.
Wait, what are we saying?
The number one receiver should be CeeDee Lamb.
Correct. It is. He's the best receiver on the team.
But Cooper is kind of, I mean, obviously he's got the experience, and last year was getting, you know, the number one receiver targets because he was the number one receiver with, you know, the rookie, and Gallup is clearly, you know, a role receiver, but I think once, you know, we start seeing that shift to Cooper being elite wide receiver two role, I think is when that offense will thrive, because CeeDee Lamb just makes more plays with the ball in his hands, you know, after the catch.
Absolutely.
Getting the ball to him in space when your run game isn't working or isn't in the game plan, like last week, I think is something that a lot of teams are going to have to account for. I think that he's one of those, you know, kind of he's a game breaker type guy. Which, as much as I love Cooper, especially in the red zone, because Amari Cooper, I think a lot of people kind of shit on him for whatever reason. I know Keyshawn doesn't like him, but especially his route running, his release in the red zone. Obviously, he's not a huge guy, but he's kind of like the way that in Carolina looked at Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel's fucking 5'10". Why did he lead the league in red zone touchdowns 2018? Or the NFC. He led the NFC in red zone touchdowns for receivers.
I don't know. That's a weird stat.
Fucking six of them. Or it wasn't red zone. It was within, not like within 20 yards, within 10 yards. Like, why? Because he's fucking the lead off the line. Sucks that he's not playing, too. He's injured, but I understand. That's why I moved on from him. Couldn't stay healthy. But
speaking of the Sam Darnold revenge game.
Sam Darnold revenge game, I wouldn't even call it that. Sam Darnold played decent.
Our defense is what won that game. The defense was immaculate. Getting to the ball, putting pressure on Zach Wilson in the first half. You know, had the turnover. Shaq Thompson played the game of his life against the worst offense we'll see all season. Of course. But, I mean, J.C. Horn, as much as everyone was, you know, talking about what J.C. Horn or what our secondary could or couldn't do, there's a lot of what our secondary couldn't do. Dante Jackson's still getting a lot of hate from 2 years ago. Not fair, in my opinion. I think he played very well last year. He was just injured. But Dante Jackson showed up. J.C. Horn was a fucking ghost, which is what I loved from my future quarterback one. Only had three targets the whole game. No completions until the last, you know, last ditch touchdown that they tried to come back with, which that touchdown was perfect coverage, just a better throw in a perfect location. I think the Panthers actually got one in J.C. Horn. That's a future number one right there. Future number one guy. They gonna pay that man.
So Panthers outlook, how are you feeling about the season? You're obviously in a tough division, but anything's possible.
The way that I see it, the Panthers are not, we're only in competition with the Saints right now for a wild card spot. Falcons might beat the Jets. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
Saints, I thought the Saints might be on that level as well if they had rolled with Taysom Hill. But because everything was pointing, especially in the last year, that Sean Payton was going to be an idiot, right? But
nah.
Finally let up. I mean, look, they signed a man $20 million contract. They said before Drew even retired last, or when he was making the decision to come back last year, they were like, yeah, whenever we're ready, whenever Drew's ready, this is Taysom's team. I was like, God damn, bro. Like,
I feel like it was all smoke and mirrors until we really saw it for, like, at least six games. Because, you know, there's got to be some point where we all knew that Taysom Hill wasn't going to be great. And fucking Sean Payton's job would be on the line. I mean, and something would have had to give. So I think when Jameis got there, it really kind of cleared up the, okay, this is the real testament. Will Sean be a dumbass?
I mean, but we saw it last year when, you know, season was on the line. Drew Brees was out for, you know, however many games he was out last year, and Taysom Hill got the starts.
Right. But I still feel like that was a, Drew's still here. You know, I've still got building blocks to play with. No one's really watching me. I feel like coming out brand new season is a much bigger difference than, you know, because we all knew that if Drew could play, he would play. And I believe what Drew did finish the season, the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Did not play well either. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I just felt like he was fucking with everybody the whole time, and he was never truly going to really stick with Taysom longer than he had to.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, we got the Panthers playing them this week. I think I'm going to take the Panthers to win, but I don't know because we've never really been able to defend Kamara. Kamara's always been since 2017, but I think this might be the year where our defense is finally fast enough because the Panthers, all of a sudden, it's like, don't look now, but the Panthers had, like, the second youngest roster and the most cap space after whatever debacle we were in from Marty Herney the last 2-3 years. So I think we have the youth, we have the speed, we have the actual, like, players, we have the defensive line rotation down pat, we have a deep-ass defensive line. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got our second round pick, Yeter Gross Matos, you know, he's in there, you know, was a starter last year, and he's on rotation. We got Morgan Fox rotating inside, outside. We got Daquan Jones coming in. You know, we got, obviously, Derrick Brown in the middle holding it down. Matt Burns, Hassan Reddick. It's a crazy-ass rotation. Those boys were getting after it last week, and I know in the midst of playing the worst offense we're going to see all year, like I said, when you watch a game, there's a got to be able to differentiate bad offense from good defense, and there was a lot of good defense, a lot of really good defense, and it's something to be excited about if you're in Carolina. And I think that we have the defense that can force Jameson to being Jameis again.
Well, I sure do hope so.
I mean,
because, man, I don't know if I can take another week of Jameis lighting up fantasy teams.
I mean, aside from that, I mean, we had Jameis, I mean, basically game managing last week because they came out and Aaron Rodgers shit the bed. And I don't know if it was intentional or what, but that was bad. That was the worst game I think Aaron Rodgers might ever play.
Yeah, it comes to make you think, is he planning for something big?
Like, I don't know, like, was this like a Joker-type revenge tour? Where
yeah, like, I this is going to be some real crazy shit.
Like, I just want to the world burn type shit.
Exactly. But also, I mean, let's not discredit Jameis 5 touchdowns on 20 passes.
No, I'm not discrediting him at all. Like I said, I mean, he was basically...
I mean, you called him a game manager.
I mean, no. I mean, you can manage a game and throw 5 touchdown passes.
I mean, 5 touchdowns on 20 passes, though, is like... You're really making... I guess you could say, yes, you are game managing at that point.
Managing.
He made the most out of his efforts, though.
We're not talking about... Other than, you know, the bomb touchdown that he threw. That was amazing.
That one was fucking fun to my boy Deontay Harris.
He wasn't being asked to make a whole bunch of crazy plays. I mean, it was, you know, Kamara here, there, checkdowns.
He busted coverages.
Couple busted coverage. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't being asked to do like game.
But he made all the right plays.
Exactly
is what I'm saying.
And I think that's
something that Jameis hasn't done in his career. I don't feel like
Jameis
consistently
got surgery. Everything's changed now. That boy said, I was a number one pick and I couldn't even fucking see. Same with Steph Curry. Man. Blowing my mind. Talking about some, yeah, I started wearing contacts. Nigga, what?
Great.
Shit,
but yeah, man. I'm excited to see Jameis' new whatever. And I'm also excited to see the revenge tour Aaron Rodgers has got going on. But one thing that we haven't touched on that I'm really excited to see is the new beginning in Detroit.
I mean, late game debacle with the 49ers. They had a whole bunch of injuries. I don't think that's sustainable to go down 38-10. Try to win every week. I mean,
all I'm saying is that there were flashes and glimpses of a guy I once knew as the engine. All I'm saying. All I'm saying.
This has been on his whole career.
No, but in all seriousness, though, I want to talk about the other side of that trade, which is Matthew Stafford in L.A.
Yes.
And I think we found a new bromance with the Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay era. Who do you think's the real NFC West contender, though? Because I honestly want to give the nod to my boy Cliff and Kyler.
Look, that's what I was talking about earlier on Twitter. It's the toughest division right now in football.
Has been for about 3 years now, right?
Yeah, for sure. Toughest division in football. You got the Rams, who I think have always been there, but like you said, flashes and glimpses. the loss of the real early. And that broke the fuck down. But now you got a guy, Stafford, who's been wasting his career away in Detroit. Kind of been hiding behind that, too. Like, a lot of shit has been his fault. But at the same time, a lot of shit has been his fault, but he's been able to hide behind, well, fuck it, it's Detroit. But at the same time, still largely unappreciated. Definitely needs to, in my opinion, I definitely think he has found himself in a situation where there are no excuses. You know what I'm saying? There's no excuses. He's got everything he needs.
Everything.
Kind of sucks. I think Cam Akers is out for the season because I think that would be the, you know, over-the-top part, having a dual running back system with his.
But he's never had a running game.
He's never had one, but I'm saying, like, he actually has the receivers, you know, the best group he's had since, what, Calvin Johnson and Marvin Jones?
Wasn't there a point when it was Calvin, Marvin, and Golden Tate?
It sounds right.
Well, I mean, that had to have been the best year he's ever had. So, yeah, I definitely think this one is easily rivaling that. He's got two budding superstars and Cooper Kupp, and the revival of Robert Woods' career in Sean McVay's system has been pretty cool to watch. Obviously, I'm a Van Jefferson fan. And, I mean, to be honest, I think he's really got all he could ask for with Daryl Henderson.
Yeah.
Very good pass catching back out of the backfield. He could definitely mimic those good years he had with Theo Riddick, those back end years. So, I mean, I'm all for Matthew Stafford's success. You know, I've been a big proprietor and him being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL throughout the years. But you're very right. He's always hid behind the fact that Detroit's been bad. So, like, fuck it. This is his real chance. And honestly, I think this year might be his only chance to really make a wave. But I can't see them as more than like an 11-1 team.
I mean, but
first round exit.
Yeah, the Seahawks, who, as long as Russell Wilson's there, like, I don't really believe in them as contenders, but they're going to do enough. Like, I think with the 7 playoff spots, it's not impossible all 4 teams make the playoffs. I wouldn't even be surprised if they sweep out all the wild card spots.
Right. And the Seahawks also, just to build on that, are a team that I think will fly under the radar until it's time to be in the playoffs. And then, honestly, I'd be scared to play the Seahawks, to be honest.
I mean, we have the Cardinals, I think, are the front runners. Like, they got the defense, you know, together. J.J. Watt looked decent. Buda Baker is a stud.
Isaiah Simmons looked good.
Isaiah Simmons is looking like himself.
Fucking now. Chandler Jones. look like Jesus.
Fucking life. I think there's more of that to come. Yeah.
Who is that? Did you see Taylor Lewan went on Twitter and was like, I got exposed. Thanks.
Oh,
went on Twitter and was like, thank you, Chandler Jones, for making me, like, work harder or some shit like that. I was like, yo, that's nuts.
That shit isn't like, I mean, 5 sack games is not the first time we've seen it, but to have it look like that, especially
first time three in the first half, I think.
Yeah, that shit was insane. That game was supposed to be a lot better than it was. And Chandler Jones has a lot to do with that. Kyler Murray, it looks like it's about time for that leap. It's about time. Like, he's already, you know, teetering that top 10. We might be seeing that top 5 leap soon.
Yeah, man. What you got?
Man, let's run through some these game picks real quick. And we'll head out.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, let's start it off. Have you done the pool yet?
Send me the link. I have not.
This is the same link. I think it's up in there.
Oh, I can just work.
But, yeah. So, I'm actually going to I'm going to just make the picks right now. Wait, did I send a link for week 2?
Nah.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, I did. It's up there. Yeah. All right. So, Thursday night, Giants at Washington. We'll take Washington. Saints at Panthers. I got to go with my boys, the Panthers. They're going to figure it out against the Saints sometime or another. Might as well be today or this week. Bengals at the Bears. I'm taking the Bengals. Andy Dalton's a fucking bum. And I wish hell on the Bears till they make that change. Texas at the Browns. I'm taking the Browns. Rams at Colts. I'm taking Stafford and the Rams. Bills at Dolphins. As much as I love what Tua can do, elite level game manager. I didn't talk about that game either, the Bills and Patriots. Battle of two good, pretty good game managers. Mac Jones can have a pretty good future as a game manager. Taking the Bills. Patriots at the Jets. Taking the Patriots. 49ers at the Eagles. Going with the 49ers, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles make some moves. Jalen Hurts didn't look terrible against the worst team in the league. Raiders at Steelers. Raiders are flying high, but I think the Steelers are a little bit too much for them. Broncos at Jaguars. I'm going to take the Jaguars. There's no way that they can look that bad 2 weeks in a row, and I still don't fully believe. I don't fully believe Trevor Lawrence is that bad. So I think that they can right the ship a little bit against the Broncos. Vikings, Cardinals. Obviously, Cardinals, Falcons, and Bucks. Taking the Bucks. Our tiebreaker game, Cowboys, Chargers. I'm going to take the Chargers, I think. And we're going to put a score up of 35-31. Titans, Seahawks. I'm going to put Seahawks. No, I'm actually going to go with the Titans because I don't think the Titans are going to be – Titans came off of probably one of the best, you know, teams that they're going to see all year. And I don't think they're going to go out sad twice in a row. I think the Titans get going with Derrick Henry. He's not going to flop 2 weeks in a row like that. That defense was that legit. And I don't think the Seahawks defense is as good. So I'm going to look for more Derrick Henry to set the tone of the game early. Hopefully no more 6-7 sacks for the Titans. I'm going to go with the Titans for a bounce-back game. Chiefs-Ravens, always picking the Chiefs when they're healthy. And Lions at Packers. Clearly, Aaron Rodgers has something going on, but I don't think he's going to let that happen 2 weeks in a row be too obvious. I think he's going to have the game of his life just to fuck with everybody. So I'm taking the Packers Monday night.
Man. We pretty much have the same exact pick, so I might ruffle some feathers. I've got the Skins. I've got the Bengals because fuck the Bears. The Browns over the Texans. The Rams are going to walk over the Colts. The Bills are going to walk over the Dolphins, New England over the Jets, San Francisco over Philadelphia, my Steelers over Las Vegas. Man, let's go Carolina over New Orleans and Jacksonville over the Broncos. Cardinals over the Vikings. Tampa Bay over the Falcons. For the tiebreaker, I'm going to take the Chargers 33-28. I've got Seattle. Titans are bums, except Ryan Tannehill. Kansas City and Green Bay. I think the only pick we differentiated was the Titans Seahawks.
Yeah, I had to get it in, man. I had to. There's always some upsets here and there. I don't think there's ever a week of straight favorites. So I'm looking for a couple of these games that I just, you know, called. Well, I mean, did you pick the Panthers as well?
I did.
Oh, damn. Yeah, so I think the Panthers might be one of those. Honestly, if I'm going for picks that I had that could be upset, the Colts could upset. The Dolphins can upset. The Eagles can upset. The Raiders can upset. I picked the Jaguars, but the Broncos can upset.
I think that was the toughest game to pick for me, the Jags-Broncos game.
I mean, I think a lot of these games are essentially pick-ems. It's a pretty decent slate this week. It's not a lot of overwhelming favorites that I think. So, I mean, but we're thinking of kind of along the same line anyways. So, we shall see.
That we shall, my boy. That we shall.
Any final words? Advice?
Go Steelers, go Cox. I definitely will put all of your money on the Gamecocks at least covering that 31.5 point spread. yeah.
All righty.
Oh, Mac Jones is the new Tom Brady.
All righty. That's what we needed to hear. Pick Up Podcast episode 80. Appreciate y'all for listening. Y'all know where to find us. And yeah, we out.
Stove God, hit me up, bro.